It's Sunday morning, February 13th.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessings on our time together this morning. Bless it by your Spirit.
Yes.
Bless it with your truth, O Lord, your goodness, your Spirit. Bless it, O Lord, by shining your light on your word, that we would be able to express what is your word, that it wouldn't be our good ideas, it'd be your word, Lord. And Lord, give us ears to hear those things. Give us ears that we would say, oh, give us ears. Give us ears by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to say that I was sitting here this morning listening to a worship service, and I was starting to count the number of years it's been since I got to sit and listen to a worship service. And it was somewhere between 7 and 8 years since I haven't actually been playing music and just got to listen to it. So I'm extremely excited and happy and encouraging to Brittany.
Yeah, it was very good. I missed it.
Counting the years I've been on the board. Longer than Brittany's been alive.
You know, when I, at home, I either scriptures or worship music all day long. And when the worship music is on, I can't sit. I have to move, or even if I'm doing my hair in a worship song, I'm walking in place. I can't just sit, and it makes me just always want to dance. Like when I used to mow the grass, I know your mother and father were like,
never dancing so much, but we did hear you sing a lot.
Yeah, I know. But I would just stop the lawnmower, and I had to. I didn't care who was. I had to just dance. And I came here one night. I don't remember. Maybe in 2016 or something. And I came and I turned on my worship music. I brought my little speaker, and I danced in here by myself. And I don't know that I've ever shared this, but I wasn't going to share, but I just remembered about it. But I danced back and forth, and it was a quiet night. I had mowed the grass that day, and I thought, well, Mr. LeMay's either going to have me hauled in, or I'll just go dance here. And while I was dancing, I just felt like this whoosh come over me, and it was like I had an experience. It's not like I fell asleep, but it was almost like a dream or whatever. But I was dancing, and all of a sudden I opened my eyes, and I saw everybody that we ever sat their butts in the pews, and I shared this with my dad years ago, but everybody was in the pew. I mean, I saw Hultquist, I saw Grover, I mean, I saw everybody. Some had their heads up, and some had their heads way down, and I started praying and singing and rebuking spirits over every one of them, and like, Lord, bring them to you. Bring them back, but not that they have to sit here, but bring them back. Bring them back. And I was, you guys, I was shouting so loud that I thought, if Charlie comes to do paperwork, he's going to be like, okay, there's, you know, somebody rambunctious down there. But I literally, and as I was praying and shouting, I would see heads kind of pop up and kind of almost like they were sleepy. And there was some that were crying. There were some that were, I could tell, were very broken. And I just asked the Lord for a blessing. I didn't care where they were. They don't all have to come be here in this building. But I just prayed a healing and a peace and a thing. And as I prayed, I would see heads pop up and heads pop up. And I can't, I mean, I've been here since the very beginning. I remember every name, every person, even three people that came to a Christian school. I remember them all. And I could just see heads popping up, but it didn't mean that they, you know, it didn't mean to me that they would be here. But in some remains, their heads were down, and some I never saw. I just saw heads down. But it was a fantastic experience. That wasn't what I was going to share, but it was an incredible thing. And I'm holding on to that for all those people, you know. But I did, it's hard for me to sit. And so when Corky was just saying, you know, that he's encouraged and he's whatever, I wanted to say, so by next Sunday, the two of you dance. Not I'm expecting
Corky. All together, if that's what feels right.
I'm expecting Corky to just let it go and dance his way.
I still got
I won't challenge you. I won't challenge. What?
I've got some sisters with some small babies if they get here.
I was just going to say, Chelsea's got to show up with Abram and let Charlie go. Because Charlie did it with Chelsea. You might have to grab Thea, but she might fight you.
Jasper wouldn't fight you if you want to dance with Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
No, he'd say, oh, please don't pick me up and dance with me.
Anyway, so.
I will say, well, this week, I talked to a couple of people about forgiveness. You know, that's the words to be in my heart. It's not the only thing, but it's just what dominates, you know, lately. And see, one of the persons I talked to is same person I told him about listening to the scripture about 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, I gave him sort of tapes, you know, like a box of tapes. And hey, listen to the scriptures, and I never saw that guy anymore ever again. Well, for like 10 years. So he didn't get mad or offended. It was just not a good thing for him. Then I started seeing him, you know, for a few years now. And then the other day he came super quickly, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was able, like, briefly to tell him about my testimony. I didn't say everything, but enough, you know. And I know, I'm pretty confident that it now is not going to be the last time I see him. For years now, that I'm going to be able to slowly, and I may be able to keep talking to him, but you know, I am not the sower, you know what I mean? Jesus is the sower of the seed, you know, and so you know, whatever happens. Anyways, there's a scripture about when listening to the word. Now, the only one that uses the word I was looking for is the King James, and the other ones don't, but anyways, this is what it says in the parable of the sower. It says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. But King James, which is what I listened to, it says, instead of tribulation and persecution, it says afflictions. So when you get afflictions, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So what happens when you start listening to the word, you know, we know that the devil doesn't want you to do that, and God allows afflictions, you know. So you either leave the word for no afflictions, or you stay with the word for the afflictions, you know what I mean? And the Bible is full of places that, you know, it's all about afflictions, basically. There's another scripture I wanted to read super quick. 2 Corinthians 2 something. This is 1 Corinthians. No, it's not. 2 Corinthians 2. Okay. 2:11. Now, this is Paul. He's speaking about different things that make him sad or happy. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read the one scripture. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed, I have forgiven anything. I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So, you know, I my understanding is that unforgiveness gives an opening for Satan to take advantage.
Lord, yes.
It does exactly what it says here. So that's why it's so. Unforgiveness is not only forgiveness is important for our salvation. Not important, but necessary. Also for earthly living, you know, or whatever, you know. To keep Satan away from us, you know, we have to forgive. It's a big, it's a big thing that we need to do. And I know I don't want to talk about forgiveness for years or forever, but it's one of the things that are worth. You know, and I'm not telling you guys all this because you know you gotta forgive, but maybe you can use it to tell others, you know, about forgiveness. It's important. You know, it's necessary. And I'm free. Well, I'm free of this, or getting free. And it feels good, you know, to say the least. Just it feels free and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to not hold something against anybody, you know. After I've been able to forgive, my you know that everything that God says in the Bible is true.
Mm-hmm. What?
He's not making stuff up. And God is taking care of my affliction. If I had to evaluate, you know, the pain or the suffering, I'm not 100%, but I'm 90%, and I was at 0%. You know, I had nothing, and I almost would prefer that somebody would tell me what I'm hearing. It would be easier for me to believe, but because I'm living in myself, it's like, am I really? Is this really happening? It's weird. It's weird to go through something so good and believe it. And I do believe it, but it's unbelievable. So anyways, just for your whatever it needs, you know, forgiveness is it's a big key or piece of the puzzle or whatever for freeing. You know, when Jesus says, "Stay in my word and you will be free." It's freedom. You know, it's if you guys don't need to forgive, talk to other people about it. Tell them.
Don't let us off the hook quite so easy as that here, Pablo.
I won't.
We you know, I'm sure there's a forgiveness that's we need to exercise.
Yeah.
The areas and as you talked about, you didn't dream that you were harboring unforgiveness. You just didn't recognize it at all. You're a long ways away from recognizing it, but it was nonetheless there.
Yeah.
Your testimony here last week was something that I have been bearing in mind, and I mentioned here before the tape went on that I've got these chemical toxins that are supposed to be flushing from my system, and they don't want to do that. They want to stay right, but, you know. And I was spending time praying about that issue here this last week. And I kind of in line with what you had brought, the Lord manifests some physical thing to demonstrate what he wants to get at, you know? And it came to me that just as I have kind of sequestered, sealed off toxins, I may have sealed off some emotional toxins too, you know? They don't go through, you know, I mentioned I kind of envy Ken for just, you put on some cream and make your face look funny for a while, but at least you get rid of them, you know. And so I'm glad that you shared that testimony, and it's a work in progress.
Yes.
You know, if you think of it as spirits, like from the beginning, he just suddenly lost 85%, 90% of his eyesight that October when he had a zip last October, and all of a sudden he lost all the eyesight. I mean, anybody else would have been like, 911! He didn't. He wasn't even panicked. I would have been panicked. He wasn't panicked. And from that, just fully trusting, fully trusting, fully trusting. You know, the eyesight came back, fully trusted, but then his head came and this pressure. And, I mean, he just hasn't been himself for 3 months. Just this. But I just, he says, I know it's a spirit. Well, it could be a spirit manifesting a tumor, a stroke, worms. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's in God's hands. But I felt in December, I said, there is something the Lord wants of you. And we just kept pressing, kept pressing, kept pressing, kept pressing. And literally, since that day when Eli and I prayed with them, and it kind of, all of a sudden, it kind of revealed itself. Now, we're going on our, this will be the start of our third week, but literally that Monday and Tuesday, he did good. Wednesday was the worst day that he had had so far. It was just pressure. And here I was like, no, Lord, he's forgiving. What's happening? You know what I mean? And then Thursday was better. Friday was better. And then all last week, it was like literally watching him, Psalms 118, trust in God, not man. God's always delivered him. Those that put their trust, God will deliver. And he literally put all his trust in the Lord. And the Lord revealed what it was. Because, I mean, the Bible says epilepsy is a spirit. You know what I mean? So in the Bible, many times Jesus cast out the spirit and healed them. You know what I mean? He didn't just whip around and be like, heal, 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 heal. And there's so many spirits that people deal with besides just unforgiveness that attach themselves. We've been ministering to this young girl, which I was ministering to her at 4 this morning, but she's got a hard life. She's had a hard life. And I was telling her, Pablo's been able to talk with her twice about the forgiveness thing. And I was telling her, I said, you know, two things can happen. Like, me and Curtis can have the same exact thing happen to us, and a spirit can come into him of fear, and a spirit can come into me as anger. Okay? So spirits attach themselves sitting in there. And, you know, a lot of times people, they got gutting. Well, if you kind of look at kind of the fruit of how they're living, they're kind of uptight people. And that's just where they hold their things. You know what I mean? And so that we get afflictions and infirmities. And I kept praying, mind control. Well, the spirit, the unforgiveness was a mind thing, but there was no correlation. But God kind of, you know, revealed it. And as you were talking right now about your toxin, whatever, Charlie, keep asking the Lord to flush it out. It's a spirit. And the Bible says about the strange things. And I tell you, you'll probably pray more knowing that those things are in here. It gets us to be, okay, Lord, whatever it is. Do you have need of something? What should I be doing? Flush it out. And really, if we look at our afflictions as more of, we need a healing from, whether it's a spirit or whatever, the Lord can do anything, you know? And so, spirits attack us in several different ways when we think that we are, well, this is just my personality. Well, yeah, but there's a spirit that came in and kind of globbed on, and now you have XYZ. Gotta let it.
Well, and the more that you claim those things, sometimes it's self-forgiveness that we go through a lot, and like claiming, like, I have anxiety, I have this, I have this, I have this, is giving legal rights to those things more to attack. You know, I think the self-forgiveness work is a huge piece of what we need to go through with the Lord.
You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot, and actually this morning, while I'm shoveling. The most prolific person to save Jesus in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, was Paul. So, Paul had a thorn in his side. great bore than Paul to have that removed. So you have to be careful, because you can have an affliction and God can say, you know what? And you're going to have it. Because that's what I want. Because that's his plan. Pablo should be, and he is, and we should all really be excited that he's been blessed, that he had an affliction for a spirit that he was healed from, or is being healed from. There's no guarantee. And it's not a lack of faith on Pablo's part or on Paul's part. The toxins in Charlie's body, we can pray that God will remove them. He's been told by man it's probably not going to happen. And we all know that doesn't really count. But yet, if it doesn't get removed, we can't turn to Charlie and go, you know, what's wrong? Get in the game. Why are you demonstrating a lack of faith?
Joke.
You know.
And here I have to interject, because I feel what you're saying. Here's what people don't realize, what I've lived through since October, and I actually have a recording of him when I called him one of the days in all of this. I recorded our phone call, and I'm so glad that I did, because I should share it someday. But he told me, he said, if I have to suffer this to death, I will do that. If God is requiring me to always be like this, I will accept it. I accept it. And it was kind of after that was like, at that point, God knew. He was willing. He told me, he's like, I don't want to be like this because it's not fun. He says, but you know what? Paul, maybe this is just the thorn in my flesh. And I thought, well, it's the thorn in my flesh for sure. But it was like, and he said, baby, he says, and a couple of our girls, not Brittany, not Felicity, there. A couple of our girls were very like, well, he should figure out exactly what it is so you can treat it, open path. And I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's just going to trust the Lord. And if he has to live forever like this, he says, fine. If this is how God wants me to minister to people like this, then this is my thorn in the flesh. And my girls were like, well, yeah, but he shouldn't have to. And I said, you guys, she's walking around like as a ticking time bomb. Her heart is going to explode, man says. So guess what? She's just not listening. So she's just living her best life, let's say. But she knows, but she doesn't claim it. And Pablo has said, you know, this is my thing. And he's like, you know what? It's not my thing. It's not my thing. So he knew it was a spirit or an affliction. But at first it was an affliction and a thorn in his flesh. And he's like, I'm just going to accept this. But it was almost like about the time that you kind of feel your burden so heavy. And you're like, okay, I'll accept it. I'll walk around with this heavy burden. Okay, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing that he goes, whoosh.
Just like Paul.
Yes. And not every time. Yeah. I've got afflictions. I'll carry around.
You know, let me also say that Paul, while he was the thorn in the flesh stayed there, at least there was light put on it. He ended up hearing from the Lord.
Yes.
What was going on. Yeah. And it's a whole lot easier to accept when you know.
And he talked a lot about it.
Yeah, there's a reason for this. You got a thorn and there's a reason for it because of the abundance of revelation.
We're not sure. And I think it was obvious to a lot of other people too. Right. A lot of people were aware of your problems. Yeah. Your affliction.
Yes.
So, and that's really where our testimony can come in. Because if you see a person who is blind and now they can see, or who has epilepsy and they don't, or whatever, and you say, I prayed to God and he healed me, he took this affliction from me, and he recognized that he knows what it was, and said, but Lord, you know, nevertheless.
Mm-hmm. But I told my girl, he's willing to be like this forever. And he goes, well, he shouldn't have to, and he's too young, whatever. I said, you guys, he's going to give it to the Lord, and he's willing. He says, Candy, I would rather die while trusting the Lord than to live trusting in man. And this is how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to just keep praying, and if this is what I have to be like, and I thought, well, this is not going to be very fun. But he said, you know what? This is just going to be my thorn.
So that's what Charlie said.
Until the next thorn. No, I don't know.
Just like Jonathan, see, Paul, he's praying for his affliction three times. And he heard.
Financially, pray all.
Yeah. And well, exactly. I prayed with the Lord.
We reported three times.
Yeah,
he reported three times.
There's a lot of places.
And God said, you're going to keep this. This is for you to keep. Why? Because you are so good, you know, in the things of God, that you need this. You know what I mean?
You need this reminder.
You need that. Now,
for your protection.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, thorn in the flesh. But the majority, except for the thorn in the flesh of God, the rest of the Bible says you will be healed. You know what I mean? So
I delivered and healed.
So you know, so if we're not healed, we can't rely on this thorn in the flesh thing. Well, we need to look at ourselves about forgiveness, about our faith, about all these other things. We don't have to accept the thorn in the flesh. It's not acceptable. Unless you hear from God, hey, this is, you got so many revelations and whatever, so we're going to put a stop at that to humble you. But healing and whatever is what the Bible is about. And what Jesus never said to any of his disciples, you got a little much here, so no healing for you or whatever, anybody. Anyways, that being said, you know, like Andy said, and I said, I'm not able to be my, I haven't been able to be myself. And I just thought about it. You know what, Lori? let's not be
that. That's so good that you didn't need to change?
Yeah.
As he was feeling better, he said, the deliverance, but he said, he was what makes me whatever is, he's like, what's going to be the next thing?
Yeah.
What's the next thing? And I said, no, we're not going to be anxious about the next thing. We're going to just get through this thing.
Yeah.
We
also have a problem that forgiveness for me is not because of the other person, it's because of me. God tells me to forgive so that I can be healed.
Yes,
that's right.
Not the other person necessarily, but it releases them also. Mm-hmm. But it's more for me because He loves me. He mm-hmm. wants me to forgive so He can do that work.
Yes.
And okay, Charlie. So let's say, so you have an unforgiveness issue, all right? And your problem with some scriptures, you can forgive. I God will heal me. Well, let's say He doesn't. But guess what? You got to forget, you know what I mean? And that will change your eternal life, not just your earthly life. You know, glory, you know?
Yes, amen.
At the same time, what if God does not heal you and He decides to bring you home by those toxins? What if that's His decision? Then what? That what if He doesn't answer because He's ready for you to go home? Then what? You can fight it and stay here as long as you want to. For I came to the determination, and it took a lot of very deep healing things and showing that I want to be here for my children and for those things. But how long do I have to suffer here? Because that's all we're doing here. We're called on earth, yes, to praise Him and to do those things. But if I know that He's gone to prepare a mansion for me where I don't have to suffer and there is no affliction and I'm going to praise Him and I know that He has a calling on my life, that He has a plan, that nothing I do actually could alter that plan in reality, because He has called me once to be born and once to die, it doesn't matter except for through fear of death what any doctor tells me is going on in my body. Not that that's a work for every position. That's a work I had to go through for myself and in so many situations now have had to apply because daily I'm trusting Him. And sometimes I get horrendous, gut-wrenching chest pain. Sometimes I can't breathe at all and I think, God, if this is the time, take care of my children, bring me home.
And there's no cream.
Well, no, but there's things that I could do. On the opposite side of that, I could continue to go, I can go have open heart surgery. They will fix the bubble. They will do that. But that is me trusting that and altering and doing that. And I chose that at the time that he's ready, he's going to take me home. And if he's not ready, I read Jerome's book to Caden. And there was a point that Jerome said he was close to death. And later when he was praying about it, that God spoke to him and said, you died several times, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. So at the opposite, do you lose your fight or has he called you home? Are those toxins in you for a reason? God made your body. God made you so perfect.
I'm sorry?
The toxins are supposed to?
No, he said they couldn't.
Yeah,
well, we'll see how things go. There was they were there 6 months ago. The hope, the kind of expectation was that they would be at least reduced. They haven't reduced, and that's caused a little, that's odd.
Yeah.
Now, I would hope that, the revelation and so forth here, that...
Amen.
And prayer.
Amen.
And maybe, prayer.
If they are a spirit, okay, if we're talking about how these things are spirit or affliction or whatever, I dare to reckon that we can cast them out.
Mm-hmm.
Pray against them and rebuke them in that manner.
Sure.
You know?
And if it shines some light on some difficulties, you know, that are not chemical related, but, emotional, well, praise the Lord for toxins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just as that was the case with Pablo, so.
You know, first is just the willingness. Remember when I said about going to, when people are go to AA, it's like, hi, my name is John and I'm a drunk. Just the...
They don't say that. No one calls themselves a drunk at AA.
Or I'm an alcoholic.
Jeez, haven't you ever been there?
No. But that at that point... just you being open to it is where the Lord can, it's when I have this and this is what I'm holding on to.
And the discussion of it is, it does battle with whatever's going on. Because,
yeah.
I have thought that I have something in me that sequesters these things, you know, seals them off, prevents them from flowing up, they don't have any kind of impact on my... outward, mood or whatever, I'm pleasant enough, but it's better not to sequester negative things.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah.
That's better to be rid of them.
I'm going to read some scripture here. Mm-hmm. And it's about Paul when he was, and I'm just going to repeat the one part. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities,
mm-hmm.
that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure
mm-hmm.
in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then he is strong. You cannot say one for all for one.
That we read different. That night after night after night after night, because we figured that that's where we were.
You know, and so I was sitting here thinking, well, why didn't I just pray for the Lord to remove all this stuff from Sunday? I don't know. I know green works, so I went ahead and I'm doing it. So, but it's always an individual thing. And if you have the faith, great. If you don't, the thing is, I've got different things, and that's the way I'm going to be the rest of my life. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I can't live, I know we've talked about. I said, I went to the doctor for an examination, a yearly one, and then they took a blood test, and they said, oh, we found a little bit of blood in your urine. You better go do the. So I prayed before I went and took the test and said, Lord, I don't care what the numbers say. I'm believing I don't have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, and they, checked it all out, and I didn't have cancer. It was
the one time it was just it was a thing in my bladder that the wall was weak and it just oozed some blood for a while, and that's how it got in my ear. She said, but that's healing now, and you're fine. So, but other things like cholesterol, I just, Lord, I'm not going by the numbers. I think I'm feeling great, I'm living right, I'm trusting you. You know, some of those things I can stand on. Some other things I go, well, if that's what they can do to get rid of it, fine, get rid of it. You know? And I know that's a big issue for people that don't even trust in man, but
you know what?
God put a lot of things on this earth through man, you know. So
but God gave that man that cream, that cream, the knowledge to do it.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. Yeah, some of it.
Sure.
And you know what? Power to follows in the place he's never gonna go to a doctor and he'll if he dies, that's wonderful.
That's his choice, yeah.
Yeah. Great. I don't know if I'm there,
right.
You know, but
God
and I'm not gonna be condemned if I'm not there either.
God knows our afflictions even before we get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So why do we have to accept them? You know what I mean? We don't have to accept the affliction as ours. We don't need to claim it. We just need to know it's there and give it to the Lord. And if he wants us to go to the doctor, fine.
Well,
if we don't,
we'll take care of it any other way.
Yeah.
I mean,
God
all,
will let
know,
us know what he wants.
And all of it, more faith than anybody, probably.
Yeah.
Told Timothy, well, drink some wine for your stomach. He didn't say, let's pray and get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, drink some for your stomach.
There are
and
options.
If it went away, fine, you know, if it didn't.
There's
know.
Options.
It's a tough thing when because everyone wants to believe, know if you have faith. And God can do anything.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, and I it's like with vaccines, I don't get vaccines. I haven't gotten a flu shot in 30-some years, you know. And I probably had the flu 3-4 times. Good, built my immunity, you know. And I haven't gotten another vaccine shot either. But
did Jerome's book really say God told him he wasn't ready?
There was that he didn't bring home in Jerome's book. I've read it to Caden twice now. Caden's reading it to Grandpa a second time, and there's a point in there where Jerome had. He had had a stroke in another country. He refused to go to the doctor and wanted to come home. He like saw this fading light, and they said there was a thing on the trace line. There was no heartbeat for 15 minutes, and the woman wrote, "This man is dead," on the trace line and whatever. And he saw this strange vision with a light and whatever it was, and he didn't know anything. The next thing he knew, he was awake in another place, blah, blah, blah. Years later, when he was praying, there, God, whatever, said to him, he was praying about it, he said, when you saw that light, you were dead, but I was not ready for you. I had more work for you to do on earth.
Okay. Well,
the way that he,
it's a lot more simple.
Right.
I can believe Jerome wasn't ready, not that God.
That God wasn't done with him. It was what?
That,
right.
That,
right.
I struggle with God saying, no, 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 I need a little more time.
No, not God needs. God needs
I'm
more time
ready.
Of Jerome on earth.
I struggle with God saying, no, no, I'm not ready. You can't do this yet.
Right.
I could really relate to, I'm not done with you yet.
Right.
You're
right.
Not done doing a certain
work for me. I had more work for you to do.
Okay, I was just.
Yeah.
For those listening on the tape, I was not trying to imply or just asking
no.
God, we weren't accepting a limitation on God's ability.
No. No, but look at, for you, even this glory of you want to get rid of the stuff and you use the cream and whatever. Now, today, you're not wearing the mask and said, if this never goes away, Lord, that is already a different heart position because we live in, you know, some self-pride of all humans
oh, yeah.
do. So he's using that work.
When I went up to the path of my pet, you said you want to be humble.
Yeah.
You mask went right here.
Well, yeah. God does it for some of us that have some extra pride. I know.
But we, you know, the response should be, if we're going to live Christ-like, and we're going to profess to be Christ-like, and we're going to look at this book and say, this is what we're going to do, then the next thing is, I love you unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of you unconditionally, regardless of what infirmity or affliction whatever results of skin cream you may have.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, challenge yourself not to be offended at what God's doing in other people.
Right.
But the Bible is this thick of prayer and healing and what he did for the Israelites and all of this. And then there's one thing about Paul. So it's kind of easy to kind of hold on to that one little sliver right there. But if we have the faith of all of this and just say, okay, Lord, you know what? I'm going to just walk around with a crooked leg forever. Let it be for your glory. But not, woe is me, I have a crooked leg. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like Ken, just to see his beautiful face. Mm-hmm. I still love Ken just how he is. I don't see the whatever. I know that nobody is looking at my purple hair. You know, we're just...
But I prefer him when his skin looks different.
So, and we all love Charlie through the whole curly thing happening. But either way, Charlie, I loved your hair. I just wanted to braid it. But it's just, let's have the faith. Faith is a substance, you know. So if we pay attention to all of this and not, it's easy to be
like, but it's... God, let me come back to that just quick.
It's like if faith.
Yeah.
If.
Every word, every jot and tittle. So even though you have 50 and one, you can't ignore the one. And I look at the Bible, and three-fourths of the Bible is how God let people get smacked around.
Yes.
They didn't obey, and they died. You didn't do what I told you to do, and you died.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't sprinkle blood the way I told you to sprinkle blood, and you died.
And you didn't believe,
and
you didn't have faith, and you died.
The first three-fourths of this book is not exactly a happy story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it says, do this or you die.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the last fourth of the book says, and this is how you live.
Well, we were so unworthy that we needed that mercy. The righteousness by our own stuff was not an option because we're human. We are still human, and there is so much mercy in that. So it doesn't matter if you go to the doctor for every time you stub your toe. It doesn't matter. If in your heart's position and the working that he's doing within you, he's doing the perfect work within you for your glory, within your story, and doing that. So in whatever it is, whether we trust in anything, giving it to God, that is the piece that matters. And whether that be easy, hard, a big calling, a little calling, whatever we do with it, he's doing that work, and our job is to love and not judge. And forgive.
Not judge.
There was a lyric in a song that you played today that struck with me, which said, I'm drowning in the sea of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to that and I went, well, why do you have to drown in the sea of forgiveness? I mean, you just I'm trying to figure out what's being said in that. Now, I want to live or have a real good association with the sea of forgiveness. I get it, and I do. But it was like, well, drowning sounds like you're struggling. I mean, that's a bad place. So I wasn't quite sure what was trying to be said there, but the fact that it made me think. And then one other thing I want to say, and I'll be quiet. If I remember, I lost it.
I love you anyway.
In the sea of forgiveness.
I think that the lyric says forgetfulness, actually, as funny as that is. I think that the lyric says, the day begins, endless reminding of my sin. The song. And then it says, I'm drowning in a sea of forgetfulness.
I don't know what you said.
Well, that's what I thought. But my wife will tell you that I often don't hear what I think I heard.
Right.
Or just don't listen at all.
You don't hear me. I want to share a little bit. I've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and when I first got the diagnosis, I was told I had 3 to 7 years to live. And things have been going very well, and that was a while back that I got that diagnosis, and my number is too low to be detectable, continues to be too low to be detectable. So I thank the Lord for that. I praise him for it. And I am looking forward to making those, that projection look very, very foolish. You know, I I want to make it decades or whatever. But it occurred to me at some point along the line, Lord, you are good to your children. My, you are good to me. But if for whatever reason, you know I don't, mm-hmm. and if my time that is left falls within that 3 to 7 years, Lord, at least right now, I accept that. I am not going to complain. You know I don't. You know, that is something in the nature of a gift that I can give him. Just acceptance of his not doing anything particularly special for me. Now, as it happens, I think he is doing something special for me. That's, you know. But if it were otherwise, you know, okay. That's okay. You know?
We all have a time limit.
That's right.
It's not given that we're going to live forever.
Sure.
We have our time limit, and we just live until that time. And we do the best we can, and prayerfully, hopefully, I'm still believing in my Lord and trusting in Him at that time. So
I've been believing that, feel like He put a call on me to do something now. That scripture where some are called few or chosen, you know, comes into play. But I feel like I haven't come to that place yet, and so I just said, I ain't going anywhere until He lets me fulfill what He wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you can, and it's kind of like, you know, people can get on you about, I rode a motorcycle for years, still have it, but, and I never wore a helmet. Now when I ride a bicycle, I wear a helmet. Because you're more prone to just fall and bump easily your head, where if you go down on a motorcycle, odds are you're probably going to live anyway, you know, or whatever. But it was like, but at the time I was riding, I would say, Lord, I'm not doing this to be rebellious necessarily. I just trust you. And I feel better about hearing everything around me, whatever. So I just said, I accepted that He gives you angels. And so in a lot of things, when I'm riding my bicycle and stuff, and you're going 40 miles an hour down a hill on skinny little tires, you know, I just trust that I'm not being totally ridiculous, that you can do it, you know. But that, you know, He's going to take care of me. And I just have that trust in Him. And I try not to, you know, like, tempt Him with it. You know, I don't try to just go out and do stuff saying, well, I know I can do it because I think Lord's got me. You know, I don't go jump off a cliff or something to see stuff like that. So, but, you know, everybody gets, everybody's in that place with the Lord where they trust Him on things that, even for life or death, you know. I mean, I love that, you know. I know exactly, I think I know where you're at really with the whole thing. I mean, with your heart.
It's been an interesting thing for me, and I think the work that God has done in my life position in the last few years and the changes and things, and even some of the things that praying and Him showing me in the Spirit just moving in my life, big things have been required out of me in showing what I mean.
Yeah.
In that also, I grew up with thyroid medication since the day that I was born. I was labeled not correct. And I wore that, and I've taken that on, and I've taken it as an excuse for every demonic hurt and thing that I could not resist that. That if I didn't have the medication, I would be a basket case. I would this. Every cell needs this. Everything. So I lived in that until about 2.5 years ago, and I have not taken a thyroid pill since.
Or any of the other stuff?
I haven't taken any medication whatsoever. I believed firmly that I would not succeed in life and that I was not okay and all of these things, and I went through a period with symptoms and things. I have zero idea what my thyroid level is at all, in any way. I know that I do not have all of the things that were there, and I know that I struggled with and had to face demonic things, hurts, personality traits, things like that within my life that I was using that as a crutch for and as an excuse, because it didn't matter if I was really sassy because I had this problem. And I justified giving in to demonic temptations on that. And that is something that the Lord had to do within me. And I had to look and say, you know, I have to change these things. I get to do these things. And with my heart, I feel more like I'm alive now because I'm not fearing dying. I'm so excited to continue living.
You know what I was getting at? The amazing thing, though, is to say, at your age, that you can accept going home.
Mm-hmm.
And people will go, what? That's crazy. You're too young. No. If God takes you, it's because he wants to take you.
Glory
you know?
In that.
I mean, and I think we probably should stand on that a lot more. You know, it's up to him, you know.
Mm-hmm. We talk often, and it's hard as her mother to have her. And if the Lord wants to take me, you know, but then I'm like, oh, wait, but also you signed up to your grandpa. Don't worry.
But I know
and being my wife, too, that goes through my head.
Yeah, but I know firmly that, and there are things in mind. Okay, am I doing dumb? Is this dumb? But then the constant reminder to me that I am in control, and he's put me in some very interesting situations that I have had to completely trust in him, and I've been tested, tempted in many ways, and every time that I say, all right, your turn, I firmly believe that if God has a calling on my life, that the devil is going to try to manipulate and use any blessings in a way that he can use it for him or hinder me so that I cannot do the things that God is calling me. So I could choose to fight and I could spend months and do these things and do that, but I'm choosing to fight it a different way because that's what God put on my heart and is calling me to do for his glory, and that is not what he's calling for everybody or necessarily for anybody else. But because he showed me that and I know that, then for me, that is what he's requiring.
Yeah.
And that's what he's shown me is so different in everybody. And I know the things that I struggle with it, and I know that I'm giving it to him and that it's principalities and powers and evils and this and that. So that gives me more of a have mercy on especially particular people in my life that they don't know what they're doing. So when they wrong me, it's required of me to forgive. It's not required of them to do the different if they truly don't know what they're doing, you know? And I'm glory that he's put me there. Glory.
He made us each an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves us individually.
So
and
much.
And we live individually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's my requirement is to just love everybody, no matter what, no matter their position, no matter anything.
Yeah, going back to I had a situation, and when you can go to that person and not say, you know, if only you, but you don't, you know, you can't. You just go there and you say, I'm sorry I felt this about you, and I repent. When you walk away, it's an amazing thing. I mean, it just lifts stuff off of you. It's a wonderful feeling when you can forgive somebody and you're not expecting one thing back from them. No justification for what they did to you, just you forgive. That's why the Lord has it set up the way. It's like, you know, it lifts stuff off your shoulders. I mean, and you know what? For a lot of them, not maybe all of them, but eventually down the road, they're going to get changed. Because maybe only one person, what if four people kept coming up to me and repenting? And pretty soon I'd have to go, wait a minute, what have I been doing that all these people here? You know,
right?
I mean, if you were paying attention at all, you'd have to go, and then you go before the Lord and he does his work in you, and man, that's a glorious thing.
But just like, you know, if you're in a crowd, somebody yawns and you yawn, you know, or like random acts of kindness. It's if we're just open all the time to what the Lord can do through us, the Bible says You know, it's really easy to, well, preach the gospel. The Bible says to be the gospel. Remember the aroma? Be the gospel.
Yeah.
Be weep with those who are weak. Mourn with those who mourn. And so if we can experience those things and be able to, you know, Pablo's been able to share his testimony, but the testimony wasn't like, oh my God, how amazing, whatever. It was the several people in the last few weeks are like, you know, they didn't go, oh, Pablo, that sounds like an amazing testimony. It was like, you know, through everything he said, it was, you know what? I think I have some unforgiveness. That was the striking thing. It wasn't that he lost his eyesight for 1 month. He had 15% eyesight. He was working. He was banging in the stuff. It was before the head stuff even started. I mean, he walked around like this, and he said, well, I guess if I'm going to be like this forever, this is how it's going to be. And I'm like, no, I didn't feel so good. But it wasn't about that. His whole thing was God did this, and I needed forgiveness. And even right now, if the head pressure was still there as strong as whatever, the forgiveness feels lighter. And so, like Charlie, you got the toxin, but through that, through whatever Pablo said and through the Lord and you coming up with your own thing, you recognize that maybe you have some things you need to get rid of, and maybe you'll still have that, but you got rid of all the other stuff. Right? I mean,
Paul, I think, ministered, I don't know, the whole time of his life, he implied that he was blind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know if he stayed that way or not. You know,
it was
no big deal to him.
Right.
You know, because he says to him, you would have plucked your eyes out and given them to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, look at that. I mean, it's.
And when God first took him, he blinded him for 3 days also.
So I don't know.
He recovered his eyesight after that. And I believe that later yet, he didn't have an eyesight for one reason or another.
So, I mean, it just shows that. God, if you leave it up to God.
And maybe the greatest healing comes in heaven. You know, it doesn't mean that we're all going to just walk around with no affliction. The Bible talks about so many afflictions. The righteous are, many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Right.
Well, why is it even in there?
Yeah.
It's just stay humble, keep praying. God can heal you or not, but won't he heal you as you get rid of other things? I mean, it's, you know what I mean? I don't think any of us are going to be truly healed in a perfect body until we've reached heaven. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, through it all, if we can glory in our afflictions, that's, to me, where the bigger blessing comes. The glory
if
in
we
the
can allow the afflictions to keep us with our face down before God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Keep us seeking and searching.
Yes.
Then that's a good thing.
Yes.
The faith that comes in, because even though you have this affliction, if you have the faith, God can heal you of that affliction, and the knowledge that the affliction that you have may be spiritual, just not physical, and not that it matters because God can heal either one, is also good. And then the knowledge that, you know, this is where God wants you to be, and if you have that affliction and it doesn't go away, that doesn't signify a lack of faith or a lack of prayer or anything else. It just signifies that's where God wants you
to keep pressing on. That's
real.
Just to keep pressing on.
Well, I always like to say it's the race you never finish running.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I mean, and the race is that you're always seeking God.
Right. And I think that God, you know, just about the time in my life, my whole life, just about the time I think, okay, all right, okay, so this has all been managed. Everybody's, all of a sudden, I get a phone call, a message, something else. I'm like, okay, all right, now it's back. So, you know what I mean? I think God just keeps, we just need to be constantly praying about something.
You know, if you have an affliction,
pray without ceasing.
And if you're not healed of your affliction, you know, maybe God doesn't want you to be healed, but you gotta, okay, so God says he'll take care of you. But the thing is, how are you taking care of yourself? Are you going to man to take care of yourself, or are you going to God to take care of yourself? So, God, why don't you take care of your affliction? It's because you're not just coming to me. You're coming to two people. And you can't have love for two people when it comes to God and man. Very important. There's no condemnation. Okay, there's no condemnation. Well, I'm very church, and we talk Bible, okay? So I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not saying be like Pablo. I'm just saying that this is what the Bible says. Zero amount of condemnation, right? Zero. And the other thing I wanted to say is, like, when this, I think, happened to me, if I was watching it in a movie or in a theater, I would grab the guy that went through this and I slap him silly. Go someplace. Don't stay where you're at. Go do something. You know what I mean? And I would still be, his head will be spinning. Now, the reason why I did it is not because I made a decision of not go see what's wrong with me. God, I can say it today because I watched it happen. I watched that happen, but God took most of my eyesight, but also God gave me this incredible peace. Incredible. See, so I am thankful for that, because sometimes people will take, sometimes God will do something, but you don't have this peace or whatever. And He gave it to me. I should have freaked out. I mean, just think about it. It's not like you slowly get a headache or a cold or an ache. Instantly, my vision was gone. Instantly. And it's a motive to freak out. And I can only talk about this as if I was watch somebody happen. The same day, I just stay home. I don't even know. I think I went to Walmart. Did I go to Walmart? We went to Walmart. Yes, I talked to Dominic on the phone at Walmart for a while. He called, and we went to Walmart. Pretty sure we did. No, we didn't.
It was a couple days. Yeah. Dominic was freaking out.
Yeah, and I went to work the next day. I couldn't see, and there was something off besides my vision. I just couldn't stomach it. Oh, not because I made a decision in the past saying, if this happened, this is what I'm going to do. Just God, in His ways, He did it for me. He did it. And I'm not tooting my horn here, I'm not whatever. But God has mercy on me. He has so much mercy that He made me do what he says I should do. I didn't do it on my own. He made me like a string puppet. I didn't have any of this on my own. It's not because I'm so strong on doing what God wants me to do. I have no strength whatsoever. It was given to me, just like it was given to us, a love for the truth. That is given. You don't develop it. You don't work for it. It is just given for God knows why. But there's nothing we can do to get that love for the truth. It's a gift. For not because you're good, not because you're bad, it's because God loves you. Jesus says, talking about us, He says, they were yours, and you've given them to me, and I have given them your word, or I have kept them. So we've always been God's, or His, or whatever. So He just takes care of us in certain ways. But I am thankful. I am thankful because I should have been a basket case. Anybody. If that would have happened to one of my kids, I would have freaked out.
And it's clear to us that because of this experience and situation that you've gone through, you're in a better position, a better place with God.
But the biggest thing was the thing with his eye. The story wasn't Pablo's amazing. The thing was that he was able, through himself, to realize I should be freaking out. I was freaking out. And I was just kind of being empathetic, and I was being really supportive, going, oh my God, my husband can only see 15%, which for a month, Eli drove. In that month is when he got that phone call from someone letting him know he should be starting churches, read Corinthians, which we did, you know. And through that, I was like, we're not going to start churches because he can't even see. He's banging into everything. But the story of that was, he developed a peace. He just developed a peace. So when he shares with people, it's when you go through these things. Charlotte goes through the ringer between her and her family. And Charlotte is able to, in all the little texts I get from Susan, I don't know, maybe Susan's adding the, I trust the Lord for on faith for Charlotte. But through that, Charlotte is like, okay, I am being bombarded. And if it's not Charlotte, it's one of her million family members. But God, Charlotte, the biggest thing she can ask is, Lord, I'm going to go through all this stuff, me and my family. I just need peace. You know what I mean? So the biggest thing is to recognize I'm going through this, but I'm going to have peace. And I really need to read Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17.
No, I don't add it. Charlotte always does.
I know, I figured. I thought, this is Susan having faith for Charlotte. 17, Jeremiah 17, 7. Then I'm going to go back. Jeremiah 17, 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. It doesn't say there's no heat. But its leaves will be green, and it will have good fruit, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So that's 17:7. Those are the that's what makes it on the plaques. I have it in my house. That one makes it on plaques in the Christian bookstore. 17:5 does not make it on the plaques in the Christian bookstore, but it's still in the Bible. Thus says the Lord: cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. So we have blessed, and then we have cursed. That one won't make it on a plaque, but it still is important, because every word.
Wouldn't be a real bad plaque.
No, not at all.
And I have it hanging above where my bird is in my front window, so every time I read, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now I know Jeremiah, because I was quoting this a couple years ago, and blah, 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 and I thought, you know what, I'm going to read it. So I started reading, I'm like, well, I'm going to read it from first one. And as I was reading, I was like, oh, my goodness. So verse 7 gets talked about a lot in churches and songs, but not verse 5. And so when I read that scripture above, my brain goes, yep, but can't forget 5. Something? No. Oh.
No, we can use Jesus as an example. You know, the ones that God loves, he lets them die on the cross. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But that's not the end of the story.
No.
that's just the beginning. The beginning of the story. You know.
The Bible does say that it's not many of the afflictions, but something, and he delivered them all.
That's the same one, I think.
That's the same one?
Yeah.
But many are the afflictions of the righteous. So that means we're going to have afflictions. Now, does that mean we're going to walk around forever without afflictions? No. And if through our afflictions that we may have forever, we learn peace, kindness, goodness, meekness, joy, if we learn that so that we can be the gospel to somebody else, that's the biggest thing. If you walk around and you got, you know, one eye and the five less toes than somebody else or whatever, through that, you're able to be the gospel to somebody else who also maybe is missing five toes, or, you know what I mean? And I know that I've been able to minister to different people through my own experiences. Through my own experiences, it's easy to be able to minister to somebody else and say, I know, I've been there, and it sucks.
Right.
But if you always have afflictions, or you always have the next thing, Pablo was saying, oh, I don't know what the next thing is going to be. I'm like, no, don't think about what the next thing is going to be. We got to get through this one. But whether it's whatever, through it, the fruits of the Spirit are important to keep through it. So you got a sore arm, you know what, Lord? I'm going to praise the Lord with this arm then instead, you know.
And Paul, he's like, oh, I rejoice in my, long story short, I rejoice in my afflictions. I'm so happy. I want to get there. I don't want afflictions, but I want to be able to rejoice. Because I haven't been able to rejoice yet in my afflictions, as I look back, I rejoice. But while I have them, I'm not able to rejoice. I want to, if I get an affliction, I want to rejoice and have the faith and know, you know, what's coming. But you know, when I had my things, I knew that was going to take care of me. But
good place, David.
Oh, I just got one little quick thing to say that the first thing you said about sowing seed.
Yes.
Okay, well, that we're sowing seed.
More specific.
You said we're not sowing seeds, Jesus sows the seed.
Well, then why did I say that?
I don't know. But
you said Jesus is the seed. I'm not
doing the sower. Well, the parable of the sower says on the sower is the Son of Man.
Okay, but all I was going to say was when you read that, okay, which was way long time ago, the Lord gave me like a vision. Okay, that sounds, you know what I'm saying. And that was that a person walking through a grocery store. And all you do was you smile at somebody and let that person go ahead of you. Your spirit man is reaching in a pocket and setting a seed. Mm-hmm. And it was really impacting to me because you don't know how those little things that we take for granted that, you know, our spirit man is. It wasn't us physically reaching in, but it was a spirit man reaching back and setting a seed on that person that you just let go and smiled at. Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Before we had the reason, that was in my heart actually all week because I was talking to Eli, and Eli had this felt responsible for this person's soul, let's say. And I told Eli, I said, you are not responsible for anybody's soul. I told him, Jesus is the one that sowed the seed.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean get out of the picture, but and you can encourage and you can water the seed, I suppose, or whatever, but we as men, you know what, and I'm 100%, if anybody tell me if I'm way off, but I don't think we are responsible for anybody's salvation. I don't think. That is,
it was just, like I said, just that what I was seeing was a spirit man. It wasn't us.
Yes, right. Through God.
Us physically going, here's a seed.
Yep.
It was walking by, and all of a sudden our spirit reached back in, and, you know, and that little seed was
with God in us.
Yeah. You don't know just by being nice.
Yes. But
not flipping somebody off.
Right.
Flip you
right.
off.
And just before that, God was in charge of what he uses us. He used that situation for the furthering of his plan.
Okay.
But it's weird. Feel not. I don't feel responsible for anybody's salvation.
No. Okay. There's probably a couple prayer requests too.
Yep.
Yes.
I got one thing to say.
Oh, wait.
I heard this quote. I call it a quote. This lady said. Anyway. I'm going to change the wording just a little bit to include us all, but she said, we are not where we want to be, but we are not where we used to be.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And read Matthew 6:14.
It says what?
Huh?
Right now?
Yeah. Well,
anytime. Mm-hmm. How I write it. It's the verse right after the Lord's Prayer.
Forgiveness. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could just pray and say, Lord, I want to forgive that person, or I forgive me for hurting that person. Mm-hmm.
And
you may never see that person again that has forgiveness, but you've taken care of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you take peace in that you did this.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Listen, you can turn it off. You're going to lose like 5 pounds when I'm
We love you all.